All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. Open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You say, I thought we were in Galatians. We are. We'll get there. As we've been going through Galatians, Paul has chomped pretty hard on this church, or the churches here, because the doctrine of salvation has been maligned. And those that are teaching are trying desperately to incorporate law into the teachings. And instead of just teaching salvation, you're saved by grace and you mature by God's grace, they're trying to add parts of the law to their walk, claiming that it's necessary. For a moment, if you will, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is going to take, and it's going to take us this morning and this evening, it's kind of like he takes a breath. And he's like, okay, I've chewed. Let's give you something a little bit more positive to work on here. I'm not going to chew on you, he says. And I'm just going to give you some positive things here. And he's going to show the church the blessings of the freedom that comes from salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us this, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As you casually greeted somebody this morning, you might have asked somebody, you might have said, so what's new? You really didn't expect much of a response, but you still asked that question. And here's how every one of us as a Christian could answer that. Somebody says, so what's new? Me. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, so what's new? Exactly. Okay. Some of you are just checking to see if you're saved. All right. One more time. So what's new? There you go. That answer should never get old. As Christians, it is good to remind ourselves all the time that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old things have passed away and all things have become new. As we turn now to the book of Galatians and put your marker here in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is going to show us three things we'll look at this morning, one thing we will start with tonight that shows us what's new in our life. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, Paul says to the church here, he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The first thing that is new is a new relationship. A new relationship. By default, we all enter this world in the exact same condition. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Keep your marker here in Galatians, but Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, by default, we all came into this world the exact same way. You say, what? Naked and wrinkly? Well, beyond that, something far deeper than that. In Romans 5 and verse 12, the Bible says this, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We come into this world as a sinner, according to the Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us that we come into this world at enmity with God. We are described as being afar off. 1 John chapter 3 tells us that we come into this world as a part of the devil's family, not a part of God's family. We are not at peace with God. We are not a part of the family of God. God is not our Father. But as Paul is addressing here the churches of Galatia, he addresses them as the children of God. He reminds them that they have a brand new relationship. How did they get that relationship? Well, that relationship came by faith, not by law. It came by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The moment that we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, this messed up relationship that we come into this world with a messed up relationship with our Creator, the moment that we are saved, this messed up relationship changes in an instant. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. One Bible commentator puts it this way. He says, a Buddhist does not speak of himself as in Buddha, nor does a Muslim speak of himself as in Muhammad. A Christian Scientist is not in Mary Baker Eddy, or a Mormon in Joseph Smith or Brigham Young. They may faithfully follow the teaching and example of those religious leaders, but they are not in them. Only Christians can claim to be in their Lord because they have been made spiritually one with him. Our relationship changed. Horatius Bonner writes this. He said, if I am a new creature, then I no longer bear the same relationship to God. My old connection has been dissolved and a new one established. I was an alien once. I am now a son. And as a son, I have the privilege of closest fellowship. Every vestige of estrangement between us is gone. I like that phrase. Every vestige of estrangement between us is gone. I can have a personal, intimate relationship with the God who made the universe, with the God who spoke all things into being. I can have a personal, intimate relationship with that God through Jesus Christ. Through a relationship. That's how it all happens. Only those born again can say that. If you're here this morning without Jesus as your Savior, then you cannot claim God as your Father. You say, oh, wait a minute, God's the Father of us all. Well, in the creation sense, yes, but not in the relation sense. Yes, God created every single one of us, but only those who have been born again have a relationship to God. They're the only ones that can call him Father. You may be sitting here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You can have a personal relationship to God today, but you must be born again. You've got to come through Jesus. There is no other way. John 14:6, most of us can quote that from memory. Jesus saith, I am, just say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The individual who is a sincere Buddhist, a sincere Muslim, a sincere Mormon, a sincere Jehovah Witness, a sincere Jew, a sincere Gentile, a sincere Catholic, a sincere Baptist is not going to heaven without Jesus Christ as their Savior. It has nothing to do with the religion you belong to. It has to do with the relationship to God through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Let's look at something else. Go back to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. The Bible says here, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So not only is there new relationship, there is also new resemblance. There's new resemblance. First, let's deal with that phrase, baptized into Christ. Baptismal regenerationists will point to this verse and they will try to argue that baptism is necessary for salvation. However, there are plenty of scriptures all throughout the Bible that talks very clearly that the gospel message that saves, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message that the Apostle Paul said that he came to preach. It is the message that the Apostle Paul said was the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Paul said that God did not send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul made a definite distinction between the two, that the gospel that saves is not baptism, and baptism is not the gospel. They are two entirely separate things. And then turn in your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you have an extra marker, put it here. We're going to come back to this passage in just a minute. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Baptism does not put us into the family of God. The Holy Spirit does. The moment we accept Christ as Savior, we are baptized in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the one who puts us into the family of God instantly." There's an entire event in Acts chapter 10 that bears this out. So the Scriptures seem to make it pretty clear that the gospel and baptism is not the same thing. So when it says that we are baptized into Christ, it is talking about the fact that we have been brought into the family of God by the Spirit of God. Now, let's talk about this new resemblance that we have. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read a couple of rather lengthy passages, but you can't just take a verse or two out of it. You've got to see the whole thing. Starting in Ephesians chapter 4, "I'm in a new relationship. I am a child of God. I have been saved by the grace of God, by grace through faith. Now I am to have a new resemblance." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible tells us that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. Now notice here in the Scriptures, that's something we have to do. The Bible doesn't say it's just going to kind of dribble off of us. So if we just stand real still, all that old stuff's just going to wash right off of us. And we'll just watch it crack and crumble and fall to the ground. It says we are supposed to put it off. We got to do something. And it says then in verse 23, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Verse 24, "and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, what does that new man look like that we are to put on? Well, he's going to give us some description here. Verse 25, "Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Huh, those are things that we are supposed to put on. Those are ways that as a believer in Christ, we are supposed to act. They're things that we're supposed to do. Colossians chapter 3, go to this passage with me, gives us some other things. In Colossians chapter 3, the first 10 verses, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Well, that's interesting. Sounds like as a believer in Christ, if we have a new relationship, we ought to resemble that new relationship. We ought to look and act the part. But do we? We, as believers in Christ, we are the King's kids. We are citizens of a new kingdom. The Bible calls us in another passage the ambassadors for Christ. So we are God's representatives. We are representatives of the heavenly kingdom here on this earth. Therefore, we must represent and resemble well. Right, Christians? That's what we're supposed to do. One of the most tragic accusations leveled against Christianity is that you can't tell a difference between the Christian and the lost person. You can't tell a difference between most people who profess to be saved and those who are lost. You know, that is really a legitimate accusation. It really is true. Go into some churches and it will sound and look like a club or a theater that you could have gone into on Friday and Saturday night. I remember years ago working for Culligan, and we had to take water softener tanks into this one particular church. It's not in existence anymore in town, but it was. And Tony just kind of grinned at me. He says, "You're in for an experience." Okay. So we walk into this church. There's these two rooms off to the side. And I says, "What's that?" "Oh, them are the smoking rooms." "What? Guys on one side, girls on the other. They go smoke." "Oh, okay." The auditorium looked kind of normal. He says, "We got to take the tanks down in the basement." Okay. We went down in the basement, full bar. I mean a full bar. Bar counters, dance floor, disco ball. This was in the 80s when disco was dead or dying, you know. But they had a disco ball. And I'm just like, seriously? Beer on tap. You know, they had big handles. It was Cheers in the bottom of a church basement. Couldn't believe it. He was right. I had an experience. I tried an experiment of my own. During the summer, one summer, sitting at a stoplight, you know how the cars will pull up beside you. You don't have any clue what's going on other than the... So I programmed in a couple of the Christian, quote-unquote, Christian radio stations. Well, I thought, I'll turn my music up. And I was like, I was horrified. And then I switched between a couple of like 100.9 or the Bull or something like that. I thought, I wonder what the difference is. There was no difference. I could rock out with the car beside me. Who knows what they were listening to? They didn't know what I was listening to. But it all sounded the same. And I wasn't doing it to listen to it. I was listening. I was doing it just to be a part of the annoying culture at the stop sign. That's all. Professing Christians smoke and cuss and drink and buy their lottery tickets just like the lost. Professing Christians will call in sick to work when they're not sick and take a sick day. Their attitudes can be mean-spirited and stubborn and vengeful just like the lost. Seems to me, based on the scriptures that we have just read, a new life in Christ ought to be different. It ought to look different. It ought to sound different. We ought to have a resemblance that matches the relationship. Somebody put it this way: our new position calls for a new practice. Our new position calls for a new practice. As a child of God this morning, do you and I look the part? You say, "Oh, well, this sounds like we're going back to the rules and the laws and the regulations and all that kind of stuff." No, I'm just reading to you the scripture. The Bible tells you what we are supposed to put off, what we are supposed to put on, and that there ought to be a distinction about us. It's not coming up with man-made rules and all that kind of stuff. It's simply living out new life in Christ. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. When we do these things, it's not because we are trying to gain God's approval or His grace by changing our resemblance. We are just trying to look the part of who we are and what God says we are. But in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, here's something else. In verse 14, the Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So that means, Christians, we are supposed to burn those bridges that take us back to the things that we did as a lost person, that takes us back to our attitudes as a lost person, that takes us back to our likes and our passions as a lost person. Burn the bridges. Don't leave a way to cross back over. Make sure that's gone. We have a new life in Christ. It ought to be evident in every aspect of our life. And by the way, let's look at one more passage dealing with this. Go to the book of Isaiah. The Lord is the one who actually started this. Because the moment that we got saved, the Lord gave us a new outfit to wear. I mean, we ought to dress different, right, Christians? We're coming into summertime and people don't know how to dress. But they do know how to undress. And it is absolutely getting worse and worse every year. Christians, we ought to know how to dress. And the Lord started this. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The garments of salvation. We went from being the filthiest, dirtiest pauper, dressed in the rags of sin, and God says, I gave you a new garment. If you like the British stuff, the history and all the kind of stories and everything. Princess Diana went from a rags to riches story, didn't she? And went from basically nothing to having it all. Christians, that's true of us. The difference is we get to keep it. It's ours eternally. We'll never be removed from the family. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. We have a new relationship. We have a new resemblance. The next thing that we have is a new relation to others. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Back where your marker is at in 1 Corinthians 12, the last part of verse 13 that we didn't read, the first part says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all been made to drink into one Spirit. Colossians 3:11 tells us the exact same thing. Here in Galatians, why did Paul single out these three groups? He singled out ethnicity, he singled out status, and he singled out gender. Why did he single out those three areas? Remember that you're dealing with a group of people that wants to incorporate the law. So he comes to them, if you will, as a former member of the Pharisees, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he kind of reminds them of a familiar prayer that a Pharisee would have prayed every night. They would have prayed this, I thank God that you have not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. The Pharisee prayed, I thank you that you have not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. So Paul takes a straight shot at those and he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male or female. Try to understand what Paul is saying. He's not saying that there is no difference. What he is saying is that the differences don't spiritually matter. They don't matter. Let's look at these if we could. First of all, there is no place for ethnic prejudice. There is no place for ethnic prejudice. I try very, very hard to never say racial prejudice, because that is a misnomer right from the get-go. There are not multiple races. There is one race. If Ancestry.com is doing its job, it's going to show that we are all related. Look at somebody sitting beside you and say, "Hi, cuz." And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, brother, sister, there is no room for ethnic prejudice among those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. There's no room for it, period. But there is certainly no room for it among Christians. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, if you would. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Notice what the Lord says here. The Jewish people, these churches here of Galatia, the Pharisees especially, they would have said that God is more in love and in favor with the Jewish people. Yeah, He made the Gentiles. He tolerates them, but God loves us. Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. God is not looking at the Jew and saying, "You're so much better than a Gentile." He's not looking at the Gentile saying, "You're so much better than the Jew." God is not looking at you and I and saying, "You're so much better because you're this color or because you're that color." God is not a respecter of persons. Yes, we are different. Yes, our ethnicities may be different. But it doesn't spiritually matter. We're one in Christ. And we are all related. Some of you have got German background in you. How many Germans we got? It's got some German in you. We were just through Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a lot of German, isn't it? It's just all over the place. You can tell by the names, especially when you go past a place that's East Berlin. It's like, did I just come out of West Berlin? I can't even tell you what the other names were. How many of you got Irish in you? All right. How many of you got some maybe some British in you? You got a little bit of English in you. Okay, how many Scots? How many of you are just a mutt? Yep. Heinz 57, we're just a blend of all sorts of spices. But we're still all related, aren't we? Isn't that great? That's what tears down the nonsense that's going on in this world. When we recognize the person that is around us, regardless of their skin color, we're all related. We can trace all of our ancestry right back to Adam and Eve. That is the original mommy and daddy to us all. Well, then how did the skin colors, how did the shapes of the eyes, what about this, what about that? That's a whole different discussion. It has nothing to do with the fact that we are all one human race. So there is no such thing as races. Unless you're comparing the human race with the animals, well, then now you're talking different races. Unless you're talking to an evolutionist who puts us all together. But that's another sermon entirely. All right, let's go to James chapter 2. Not only is there no place for ethnic prejudice, James chapter 2, there is no place for social strata. James chapter 2, the first four verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts? There's no place for social strata. The wealthy of the church don't have deeper privilege, deeper access to God than the poorest of the church. And we cannot recognize social strata. One of the things, and I agree with this concept in the school system. I think they ought to go to uniforms. I just think that, and I know some of you, if you got kids, they're going, oh, I hope they never do. I wish they would. That way there'd be a dress code. And that dress code should be a modest dress code for everybody. I wish they'd go to that. You say, well, why? Put everybody on the same playing field. That way we're not looking at the label on somebody's jeans. We're not looking at the icon that's on their tennis shoes. We're not looking at any of that stuff. We're all the same. In church, can we be guilty of looking at one individual who maybe doesn't have a whole lot and another individual who has a whole lot and maybe favoring one over the other? Is that possible? It's possible, but it's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be able to come together regardless of our strata in life and be able to worship God equally. It's the way it ought to be. The last one, there is no place for sexual distinction. We would be absolutely ignorant and blind to the evidence of the past and some evidence in the present that there is definitely ethnic prejudice in the world, and there's a prejudice against social strata, and there's a prejudice against women. But I think there's also a reverse prejudice against men. We would be ignorant as ignorant can be if we said it didn't exist. But it ought to never exist among Christians. It ought to never exist in the church. We ought to recognize that there is one great equalizer, and that's Jesus Christ. And that is the answer to the problems. Not reparations, not apologies, not equalizing wage disparities. That's not the answer. Those are merely band-aids that will not work. The answer is Jesus. People need to know Christ as Savior. That'll make the difference. There is no legislation. There's no activism. There's no movement. There's no parade that will ever solve the problem. The problem can only be solved in Christ. And you and I, as believers in Christ, I don't really care what's going on in other churches. That's not my business. I'm not there. I'm here. You're here. We need to focus on what we're doing. We need to focus on the fact that we need to set a right example. When we go into our workplaces, we go into our schools, we go out to shop, we go out to eat afterwards, we need to be setting the right example. And we need to set it for Christ. And I think we need to maybe even go a bit overboard, if you will, just to show that it can be done. But it's because of Jesus. Go back to Galatians 3. I said there are four things that come with knowing Christ as Savior. Verse 29. If ye then be Christ, then ye're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's new relationship, there's new resemblance, there's new relation. And the last thing, there is a new ration. We are heirs, we have an inheritance, and we'll talk about that tonight. But it's a good thing to have because of Christ. This morning, if you know Jesus as Savior, the blessings of salvation should be evident. The fact that we have a new relationship should be evident in the fact that we have a new resemblance and we have a new relation to others. It ought to be obvious. And this morning, Christian, if it's not, in one of these areas, if it's not, then what are we going to do about it today? What ought we to do about it? Maybe we should answer it this way. If somebody sitting on this side or that side of the church is guilty of it, what would we tell them to do? Now let's look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm the one that's guilty. I guess I knew what to tell them. Maybe I better tell me. Because it's always easy to fix somebody else, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I can fix them. And the Lord says, fix yourself. Fix yourself. And so let's go before the Lord this morning and fix ourselves, Christian. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not in Christ. Therefore, you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. You say, oh, so I've got to be saved to really be able to pray to come to God. Yeah, that's true. Well, let's think it a whole lot deeper than that. one day you're going to die. You'd like to be in heaven, wouldn't you? Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's not letting you in. Oh, but I was sincere, I was faithful, I was this, I was that. But you didn't have a new relationship. They'd be like somebody saying that they wanted to come and be a part of my family and just walked around. They told people, say, oh, yeah, I'm a part of his family. That's my dad. That's my uncle. That's my brother. Who are they? They're not part of my family. Now, if they said, could I be? And I said, sure, I'll adopt you. Then they're a part of my family. Jesus Christ adopts those of us that come to him in repentance and faith. We are adopted into the family of God. It's the only way to get into the family. You are born again, adopted into the family of God. And lost soul today, that can happen for you. We would love to take you aside and open up God's Word and introduce you to the Savior. Because He wants to save you. He wants to save your soul today. Do you want that? Give us the opportunity to introduce you to Christ. Stand with me with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for Jesus. We are thankful, Lord, that as believers in Christ, we have been given this new relationship, a new resemblance, and a new relationship to others, and as we'll see tonight, a new ration. Father, if there are areas in our life where we are not living as we should as a Christian, and convict us, Lord, of those areas. Show us, Lord, how we can walk right with you in all things. And Lord, we pray especially for that lost soul that's here today. You know who they are. We pray that this would be the morning where salvation would come to them. Their heart would be broken, and they would cry out to Jesus and be saved. Have your way in this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name.